Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Every color of day. Whirling around at night.
There goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, on this Sunday night, September 17th, 2006, to this pre-Rosh Hashanah show number 189 of Dave's Gone By. Happy New Year, almost, and Happy News Year, because tonight's show, we have so much news gone by. We are so overflowing, as I was saying in the pre-show, before the program that I do sometimes from 10:30 to 11 on this station, WGBB. Last week we were going to do a big old News Gone By segment. I pulled all these different stories that I goof on. It's kind of a weekend update sort of thing, or like Jon Stewart does. I mean, I'm certainly not the only one who goes and finds news stories and then makes fun of them. But, you know, we do it in our own special way, and then there's the bad pun of the week and kind of kooky things that we do. So we're really going to get into it last week, and then we just started talking about 9/11, because last week's program was on September 10th, and at the very tail end, it ran from 11 until midnight, so at 12:01, it was already September 11th, and the five-year anniversary. So we had some really nice guests. We had my friend Piero call in. We had Jay Paul in the studio talking about being physically at Ground Zero a couple of days later and doing all that. And we had my guest host and a good friend, Jeff Goodman, in the studio as well, telling about his experiences. And we got so into that that it didn't feel right. And also, we were looking back and forth at the Chabad telethon that night, because it was also on simultaneously, and we were watching that on the web stream that they had, and waiting for the rabbis to dance. And they did at one point while we were in commercial. And they only danced for like a minute or so. So by the time we were back out and I was talking a little bit about other stuff, it was over and they had some boring speeches and you know, a couple of other acts and stuff. And I was so disappointed. I thought we were all going to just sort of join hands and dance around the studio while the Rebbies were dancing as they did another tote on the tote board. Didn't happen. And also the News Gone By last week didn't happen because we got so into talking about our experiences on and after September 11th. Well, anyway, tonight, lots of time for the News Gone By, and I'm very happy about that. Also, I want to wish Jeff Goodman a really wonderful vacation. He's off to the wilds of Alaska for about a week and a half, booked a couple of flights there. He's one of those people who doesn't take one airline flight because he calculates frequent flyer miles on them to the letter, or to the number, as miles would be, and uses them all, and he knows how to work it so that he gets first-class upgrades all the time and free trips. I know nothing of this. I probably cost myself round-trip tickets around the world and with stops in Bora Bora for as long as I want by just not paying attention to that. I just go for the cheapest fare I can get, and then I'll take it and pray that it's a direct nonstop, so I go from point A to point B, direct line, nothing to worry about. But he's the exact opposite. He wants more and more miles, you know, tonnage, to just log it up so he gets more benefits from them. So I think he's taking about 12 different flights to get to Alaska. He's going to spend literally about four days just getting there, then 5 days freezing, and then 3 days coming back. But if I know Jeff, he's going to find really interesting things to do and have a wonderful time. So he will not be here this week or next week, and then the following week, neither of us will be here because it'll be Yom Kippur, and we're taking the night off. And then the week after that, I'm sure we'll hear Jeff on the pre-show and also probably on the main Dave's Gone By program. But either way, I wish him a wonderful vacation, and everybody out there also a wonderful Jewish holiday season that's coming up now. Anyway, before we get started on the News Gone By and other aspects of Dave's Gone By, want to also explain what this show is. It's talk radio, it's comedy, it's music, it's interviews, it's all sorts of things. As I explained on the pre-show, I mean, over the years we've had guests on the program like folk singers Tom Paxton and Christine Lavin and Chris Smither and more pop-oriented people like the keyboardist Jeff Labus, who worked with Van Morrison. Peter Tork from the Monkees, Neil Sedaka. We've had actors and actresses on the program, directors. We had, a couple of weeks ago, we had a 90-year-old actress and her granddaughter both on the show, and they're both wonderful. So you never know what you're going to get on the program. Also, comedy sketches and stuff like weird kind of things that I guess maybe not only I do, but only I do them in my way, like the World Weird Web, which we haven't really done in a while, but where we look at goofy places on the internet, or Inside Broadway, where we talk about Broadway shows. At the moment, Broadway's still pretty quiet. We had a couple of openings two or three weeks ago with Martin Short and that wretched Kiki and Herb. Come October, there's a bunch of things being loaded in, and then late October, it just gets crazy with the musicals, and we'll bring back Inside Broadway at that point. Speaking of Broadway, I want to remind you also that a couple of the sponsors of the program are Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. It is the Bible of Broadway, and this is the time to get it, because the season is really starting up in another week or two. Get on your doorstep, in your mailbox, on your porch, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, because it's everything you want to know about what's playing on and off Broadway. Tremendous amount of detail and useless information. Well, some of it's useful, some of it's useless, but it's all there. And that's the point of it. It just culls all the info you need in Performing Arts Insider. See PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information. And we're also brought to you by Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway in Hewlett, because, they do a fine job. They do it at a reasonable and sometimes even inexpensive price. More inexpensive for Dave's Gone By listeners, because you get 10% off when you go in there for any job. And there's no copy job too large or too small at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Also, I want to thank our sponsors, MortgagesRock.com, because, well, what they do is not just give people mortgages, they teach other people how to give other people mortgages. So, in other words, you go in there to learn to be a mortgage broker. They take the mystery out of it, the bureaucracy, even though there's a lot of paperwork. You learn how to do it so you can make the commission while you're helping your friends and neighbors and coworkers and even enemies get the houses and the loans that they need and they want. MortgagesRock.com, that's, of course, their website, where making money never sounded so good. All right, we're going to get to the news gone by in just a little bit, but I want to check the news. We have a little time to play with here. So later on, hopefully, I'll have some time to talk about the New York Mets. See, this was going to be a cool thing, because it was going to be the show Sunday night where I could celebrate and say, hey, we did it! You know, we took the division. Mets are number one. And the odds of that 4 or 5 days ago were pretty darn strong, because the Mets' magic number was down to about 3 a week ago. And it'd been, you know, literally just tumbling down in the weeks before that. And even, the Mets weren't even playing all that well. And then it just went from about 15 to 11 in a blink of an eye. And then it was down to 7, and then 4 and 3. And then 1. And it's been at 1 for the past 4 or 5 days. So we'll talk about a little bit about the Mets, a little bit about damper, not being able to pop the proverbial or the, well, it's only proverbial champagne here because you're not allowed to drink on the radio. But I thought I'd be having a couple of mimosas in celebration, but I'm not. I'll get over it. We'll talk about it. Let's see what else is in the news at the moment. Mixed reaction. I'm looking at Yahoo News as the Pope expresses regret. They have this amazing picture of him. It looks like he's being called to Jesus as we speak. He's expressing regret, of course, over what he said about the Muslim religion, or more specifically, what he said, an emperor said about the Muslim religion, but he didn't make enough of an effort to contradict what that emperor said. So, of course, that has led to violence on the part of Muslim extremists around the world. And it would be pretty funny if there's suddenly a fatwa against the Pope now. That would be pretty hysterical. Not just if they start bombing the Vatican. You know, it'd be pretty, pretty cool to have a shoe bomber trying and get up there to the Vatican City. But imagine if they physically really even go after him. That would literally almost be a signal of end times. That would be going back to medieval days when you had pashas going against the Pope, the Western world against the Eastern world. Then you just sort of know we're in deep, serious doo-doo. So I hope everybody cools down and that he was, you know, there's a reason the Western world is afraid of and disliking the Muslim world at this point. I mean, they're not giving us much reason to trust them or like them. If they would, and there's another story here where, I haven't read the story, but I'm seeing the headline that Muslim countries are looking to increase their tourism. Sure! Why not? Why, isn't that where everybody wants to go right now? Well, maybe, actually, their airports are a hell of a lot safer because they don't have to worry about themselves. You know, they're not going to blow their own airports up. So, here. Muslim nations considering tourism push. This is not the news gone by the way. This is kind of different. This is me just looking at the news and going, oh, my God. They're considering a global campaign to boost tourism by 2010, contemplating a move to ease visa restrictions for each other's citizens. Tourists from other countries should be encouraged to visit Muslim countries so they'll get to know Islamic countries better, said Tourism Minister, oh my God, look at this guy's name, Malaysian Tourism Minister Tengku Adnan Tengku Mansor. Oh, I love that. Tengku Adnan Tengku Mansor. Sounds like sort of an electronica hit from the early 1990s. Tengku Adnan Tengku Mansor, da-da-da-da-da. He was visiting Moscow, and he was saying they're considering a proposal by Malaysia. And remember, Malaysia's the place that just had that president who didn't retire, his term was over, who was making all these incredibly anti-Semitic statements, so they kicked him out on his ass. None of those statements, of course, meant to appeal to Muslim tourists. And now they're at this conference going, 2010 was Travel the World of Islam Year. Well, yeah, which is pretty cool, because if you get on a jet at Kennedy Airport, and you can literally fly into the 15th floor of the Muslim Council Center in Egypt. But anyway, I think it's time for the news gone by, don't you? So we'll do a little bit of business, and then I'll be back with more of Dave's Gone By. Don't go away, please. 180+. That's how many episodes we've done so far of Dave's Gone By. And nearly every one is preserved lovingly, almost sexually, on compact disc. So you can buy as many episodes as you like. CDs are $11 a piece, including shipping and handling. See davesgoneby.org for the show's whole history and how to pick and choose the episodes for you. Great radio like Dave's Gone By doesn't grow on trees, but it does get saved on CDs. What's playing on Broadway? I'll tell you what's playing on Broadway, and I'll do it by checking Performing Arts Insider. Off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway. You keep adding offs, they'll keep adding listings. Who's in the cast? What's it about? Why is it special? Performing Arts Insider is Broadway the best way. 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. Or see PerformingArtsInsider.com. Switch up the global story! Get into UPI Motors to tell everybody! News!
TV and the news of the world! My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good to relax.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's time for the News Gone By, a look at world and local events of the past week. From a Rosh Hashanah nasty perspective, we begin with the news gone by, with the news gone by, with the news gone by, with the news gone by. The fifth anniversary of 9/11 has come and gone, and what's changed? We're still in Afghanistan, we're still in Iraq, gas prices are still way high, however, less way high than before, you know, high enough that taxi drivers are considering raising their rates. Bin Laden videos are still top 10 on the Al Jazeera parade, and a week ago, Bin Laden's second-in-command, al-Zawahiri, made his own video. It's like a family business over there. But on the Zawahiri tape was yet another towelhead, speaking both perfect Arabic and perfect English. That's because this a-hole was born in California, a child of hippies, of course, who discovered Islam and Al-Qaeda through listening to heavy metal. I guess it's a good thing Ozzy had Sharon, or maybe he'd be fronting a band called Black Ramadan. Sharon! Sharon the airplanes! Well, he wouldn't just bite the head off a bat. He would go live in the bat's cave and blow up the trees outside. But anyway, this younger guy, this piece of crap in the Al Zawahiri video, he's American, and he's already done a few other videos for these animals. It's a series called Terrorists Gone Wild. Watch them strip off their morals and screw the planet. So this lentilhead gets on the videotape and urges everyone in America to convert to Islam. It's not too late, he says, but do it now, because today might be your last. Well, gee, thanks, Adam. That's his name. Adam Yehiye Gadan. Actually, it was Adam Perlman before he changed it, and if that name sounds Jewish, alas, it's because he half is. His dad's a Yid, Philip Perlman. But his mom was Christian, so technically, thank goodness, this F-wad isn't part of our tribe. But okay, the father, in his post-hippie enlightenment, moves the family from the smog of L.A. to the suburbs where they all raise goats. Literally. Surprise, surprise, the goat business failed. You know, there's a reason Jews go into law and medicine and not animal husbandry. And the son, Adam, he turns radical Muslim. Now he's on TV, he's exhorting Westerners to accept Muhammad so our souls can be saved in time for the next terrorist attack. Personally, I wouldn't pray to Muhammad if he looked like Keira Knightley, danced like Harold Nicholas, sang like Jimmy Page, wrote like William Shakespeare, and could hit a baseball 800 feet. I wouldn't switch to Islam if, with every conversion, they gave away 3 Rolls Royces, a Lear jet, a small island off Aruba, and a toaster. I wouldn't touch a Koran if it were made of tits. So, Mr. Gadan, which, by the way, means little in Hebrew, maybe that's where your trouble lies. I'll stick with my neurotic, illogical, ancient, inconvenient Jewishness. You can keep your filthy, stinking, rancid, hateful Islam. However, if you want to trade radio stations, we'll talk. No, but turns out I'm not the only one who has a teensy problem with radical Islam. Talk about politics making strange bedfellows. I'm actually going to go rah-rah for the Pope. That's right, the Pope, Benedict. Currently in the Vatican, formerly in the Hitler Youth, the Pope was giving a lecture in Germany about different religions, and he mentioned the teachings of Muhammad. Now, whatever moderate Muslims want to say about Islam being a peaceful religion, old Mo did urge his followers to spread the word by the sword. I guess if you only threaten with the sword rather than actually cutting off heads and fingers, that's semi-peaceful. Even so, El Papa took issue with El Prophet, citing another scholar who called Muhammad's teachings, quote, evil and inhuman. This, of course, set off a firestorm in the Arab world, with Muslims attacking churches in Gaza and the West Bank. Actually, they were doing that anyway, but this made it more fun. Leaders from all over the Arab world demanded the Pope apologize. And for his part, Benedict only backpedaled a little. He did say sorry if he gave offense, but he reminded everybody he was only quoting someone else, rather than directly saying these things himself. And of course, he added, that he's against any religion that uses violence as a motivating force, which, of course, Christianity never has. But the Pope will continue his speaking tour. I hear his next stop will be several countries in Africa, or as Pope Benedict, quoting an obscure Byzantine chief, calls them, the land of savage, tree-climbing dung people. But let's be fair. Arabs aren't the only Semites who can get riled up now and again. A while back, a group of Orthodox Jews took a vacation tour to the Dominican Republic. The tour was organized by Club Kosher, which struck a deal with the Alegre Playa Grande Hotel. The deal, of course, was that all the food be kosher, all the preparation be kosher, every aspect of the hotel be strictly kosher. And the hotel agreed. It even agreed to let the tour group's own mashgiachs, its watchdog rabbis, oversee the kitchen preparations. So everything went fine at first, until groups of other tourists also came to the hotel, and they started ordering cheeseburgers and booze. Well, the hotel complied, and at that point, the Orthodox guests began getting justifiably choleric. One of the mashgiach smashed a plate he saw being used in an unkosher way, and that's when the hotel security deployed, complete with billy clubs, and one of them pulled a gun. Now, you've got to admit, that's an amazing scene. A bunch of cranky Orthodox Jews being threatened by a gang of Spanish heavies with nightsticks and firearms. Ultimately, Club Kosher refunded a chunk of the vacationers' money, but they're hoping to get that back by suing the hotel. Asked about the lawsuit, one Jewish tourist said, "It was horrible. The lies, the rudeness, the food, the threatening atmosphere. What do they think this is, Howard Johnson's?" In other news, in the week leading up to the 9/11 anniversary, who would think the most shocking news would be fish terrorism? Last weekend, they buried Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. Of course, he's now went hunting for stingrays off the Great Barrier Reef. But ironically enough, he was filming a segment called The Ocean's Deadliest, when he swam too close to a stingray who didn't want his company. The stingray knifed him through the chest, killing him either by poking him in the heart and or by the poison in his barb. Either way, it's a real Final Destination way to go. I wonder if there were 24 crocodiles waiting on the shore saying, "You go, Stingy, save us a leg!" No, we're not going to make sick jokes at Steve Irwin's expense. We're not going to bring down the tone of this program just to make jokes like, "Why was Steve Irwin a bad example for his kids?" Well, he had his nipple pierced. No, that's just really terrible to say things like, "What's the difference between Steve Irwin and Mayor Marion Barry?" Well, Barry survived his sting operation. No, I'm sorry. We're not going there. We're not going to make fun of this poor, beloved icon by telling terrible jokes like, "What was Steve Irwin's last meal? A fish stick." I realize that would be an awful taste, and that Steve leaves behind a wife and kids, Terry, of course, who was on his TV show all the time. Of course, you know what movie she'll never rent again? Ray. Or The Sting. No, but this ghoulish behavior has to stop. I apologize for it, and I think Steve Irwin was very brave for trying to film other animals besides crocodiles. Hey, he took a stab. Oh, okay, this is not a celebrity roast. This is not the time to needle Steve Irwin and skewer him, because the stingray beat me to it. No, but what irks me about Irwin's passing, really, is that just the continuing insanity some people have about animals. I mean, it's all well and good to want conservation to protect the environment. If you want more humane treatment for police horses and spaying stray dogs and cats, and protecting endangered species like manatees and buffalo, I think that's great. But invariably, the vegans, the PETA people, go too far. And then you have the idiots who throw blood on people wearing fur coats, or yutz like Roy Horn, who makes apologies for the tiger that ripped the back of his head off. "Oh, the tiger was just protecting me by turning my spinal cord into hamburger." No, but in one sense, Roy was right to defend the tiger. An animal is an animal, no matter how domesticated, no matter how close the human-animal relationship. You take a Shih Tzu that's lived on a pillow in Central Park West for 10 years, and by the way, that's Shih Tzu, that's lived on a pillow in Central Park West for 10 years, and put him in the Pennsylvania woods, and he'll come back with a rabbit. Take a dog that has never so much as growled since the day you took him home from the pet store and put him near a new baby. Get ready to watch the pooch enjoy his new chew toy. And so Steve Irwin, snake handler, crocodile chaser, ostrich racer, said to himself, "I love animals. I understand them. I'm also very experienced. I'm a human and I'm famous. So I'm just a little smarter and cleverer than these beasts, and can always get away at the last second." Except, of course, when he tried riding piggyback on a stingray. They're supposed to be peaceful creatures, but honestly, how harmless can they be if they have the word sting in their names? They're not called ice cream rays. They're not called lubby-dubby round fish. They're stingrays. And it just bugs me that Irwin's producer, you all saw that clip on the news shows, Irwin's producer, John Stainton, was interviewed after the accident, and he said, quote, "The world has lost a great wildlife icon. He died doing what he loves best, and he left this world in a happy and peaceful state of mind," unquote. Excuse me? Okay, I realize you don't want to scare kitties away from nature, but Steve Irwin died splashing and coughing blood because a fish spine covered with poison shot between his ribs and drilled into his heart. He may have had a peaceful state of mind, but the rest of his body was like 9/11 in a hurricane. And his producer even had the gall to add, to close his press statement by saying, "He left the world in a happy and peaceful state of mind. Steve would have said, Crocs rule." Now, granted, I can't speak for Steve Irwin any more than John Stainton can. But considering his predicament, I think Steve would not have said Crocs rule. I think he would have said something more like, get this bloody fish out of me! No, but I do give credit and homage to Steve Irwin, really, because he was what everybody in the business wants to be. An original, a showman, and an entertainer. A man who achieved fame and fortune being absolutely true to who he was and what he cared about. He had a great sense of humor, including about himself, and he made some really fun television. So, hey, farewell, mate. Have a great afterlife. And while you're up there, get a real pair of pants. Enough with the shorts already. Speaking of dangerous animals, weird but true reports that a python in Malaysia had trouble digesting its dinner. That's because it digested an entire pregnant sheep. Should the snake survive, it will not only shed its skin, but two sweaters, a ski cap, and five pair of mittens. Of course, whatever you think of Steve Irwin's stupid behavior is not limited to Australians. Condolences to the family of Nguyen Van Hung, known in his native Vietnam as the Electric Man, for his ability to withstand electric shocks. That is, until last weekend, when he got electrocuted. Van Hung, who was actually nicknamed Hung Electric, if only, he once appeared on Vietnamese TV demonstrating that he could endure alternating currents that would fry an ordinary human being. He would fix electric cables with his bare hands. He could stick two fingers in a light socket and nothing. But last week, he decided to fix an electric pump without stopping the power supply. And, well, the power supply stopped him. I see. Horrible story out of Montreal this week, when a lone gunman opened fire on the campus of Dawson College. One student was killed, 19 injured. Before he was cut down in a hail of bullets, the intruder was asked why he would bring such violence to a school. He replied that, in fact, he was on an educational mission. He was just showing Canadians how to behave like Americans. Hey, I hope you were listening last week to our special Chabadathon episode of Days Gone By, but in celebrating the insane Jewish telethon, I forgot to pay homage to the granddaddy of them all, the big Kahunathon, if you will, the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon, which had its 40th installment over Labor Day. The telethon raised a new record, $61 million, to help the really sick and pathetic. Therefore, most of that money will be used to treat Jerry Lewis. In leisure news, oh sure, all over the world you can find theater festivals, wine festivals, music fests, Oktoberfests, but in Casolo Valsenio, Italy, get ready for none other than the Festival of Forgotten Fruits. Yes, finally, Amanda Bierce and Jim J. Bullock get the recognition they deserve. No, it's actually a festival dedicated to little-known and sometimes ancient varieties of wild fruit that are still cultivated in the region. Among the honorees of the Festival of Forgotten Fruits, medlars, jujubes, I thought those were candy, but there you go, pomegranates, vulpine pears, I love that, and various types of cherries. All of them will be featured and made into marmalades, pies, syrups, and alcoholic beverages. Asked if they were also planning a festival of forgotten vegetables, they said yes, but only if Charlton Heston is available. Speaking of fairs and fests, hooray for Gaithersburg, Maryland, where a week ago they held the 58th annual Montgomery County Agricultural Fair. Who cares, you say? This is just a typical Southern-style country fair, including rides and fried Oreos. Yes, fried Oreos. And break-a-plate games, which I guess those Club Kosher people would be amazing at. But what makes this particular county fair so special? The third annual toilet decorating contest. I don't just mean people who decorate the rim after eating a dozen fried Oreos. I'm talking designers countywide submitted their entries for the most interesting and elaborate crapper. For example, there was the obligatory toilet bowl, an homage to college football games. There was the Dairy News, with a cow puppet reading the newspaper. There was Old Glory, with an American flag painted on the tank. But this year's winner, designed literally by a couple of Boy Scouts, was Camp Stink-A-Lot Scout House. It's a brown toilet made to look like an outhouse, complete with a plastic vine and a fake snake. Now, last year's winner of the $25 prize was something called Fishin' Hole. Before you get any ideas, well, any worse ideas, realize that there are rules here. The toilets must be cleaned and sanitized, they can't make noise, they have to be weatherproofed, and they can't be decorated in any way that fair officials find, quote, objectionable. Otherwise, it's fair game for creativity. Karen Nelson and her two young daughters designed the rubber ducky, which had little toy ducks floating in the bowl. This was our first toilet entry, she said, quote, all the kids who go to the fair get so excited about the toilets. Okay, laugh if you will, but you never know what great artists may spring from such humble origins. Maybe the next Jasper John, the next Camille Pissarro, the next Pablo Picasso, or perhaps, if we're lucky, the next Toulouse Latrine. Yes! Yes! That's the sound of the comedy bell. Signaling the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a play on words so crappy, so loo de crus, that we're flushed with pride when we ring the comedy bell. The bell that tells you why you should advertise on Dave's Gone By. We're having a fall sale right now with really cheap rates. If you look at the rate card on the Dave's Gone By website, davesgoneby.org, slash those prices. We've cut them in less than half for just the next couple of weeks. They're cheap to begin with, so just imagine the deal you could get for half a minute, or even 2 minutes, week after week after week, on this program reaching my listeners. Now, there are four keys to effective advertising on Dave's Gone By. Honesty, humor, repetition, and repetition. Anybody who hears this show a couple of times knows who our sponsors are: Hewlett Minuteman Press, Performing Arts Insider, MortgagesRock.com. We don't do a hard sell, but after a while, the message sinks in and stays there, which is why our sponsors stay with us season after season. But we will make room for a couple more advertisers and at those special discounted autumn rates. So call now, 516-295-1511. Area code 516-295-1511. Within 24 hours, someone here will get back to you, and together, we will brainstorm the ideal method to advertise your product, event, or service on my show. 516-295-1511. You can also email davesgoneby@aol.com. And again, by next Sunday, you could be advertising on this very program. Sponsor a segment, sponsor a whole episode, or even sponsor the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good. Be punderful. Returning to the news gone by, in medical news, get ready to give a big, is he crazy, to a 24-year-old Indian businessman. He wants an operation to correct his condition of diphthalus. That's right. He was born with two, count them, two penises. Actually happens to one out of every 5.5 million men. Or, as they're called in the medical establishment, goddamn lucky sons of bitches. No, but this fella wants one of his organs removed because he apparently wants to marry and lead a normal sex life. Hey, Babu, if you're listening, let me clue you in on something. A man's normal sex life is wishing he had two penises. I'm sure I speak for every man listening when I say, fella, what you need is not surgery. What you need is a woman born with two mouths. And just remember, if you go through with this procedure, you lose the handiest sock holder you ever had. We'll be back with more news right after these messages.
Yeah! Yeah! You rock! You know what else rocks? Mortgages rock! Yeah, because MortgagesRock.com gives you the chance to help your friends get the loans they need. College loans, home improvement, new trailer, MortgagesRock.com helps you help them. And the more work you do, the more commission you get. Full service, fully licensed, MortgagesRock.com has real experts on the phone, at the website, in the office, making you a bigger, better broker. MortgagesRock.com, where making money never sounded so good. Rock on, mortgages!
And now, a public service announcement from Popeye.
Hey, kids. Remember I told you to eat your spinach to grow up big and strong like me? Well, old Popeye screwed up big time. He ate some of that bagged spinach from Dole, and now he's weaker than the WGBB fall lineup. I was fighting Baluto, so I tore open a ginormous bag of triple-washed spinach. Yummy, yummy. Spinach gives me all the energy I need, especially when it's washed down with a gallon of Red Bull and two tabs of ecstasy. Mix that with daily injections of human growth hormone, and kids, you can have big bulgy arms, big bulgy legs, and big bulgy acne, just like me. But this morning, when I opened my big bag of green, no one told me it was all bacteria-rated. First me bladder failed, then me asthma kicked in, then me colon shut down, then me fruit of the looms were filled with ca-ca-ca-ca-ca-ca-ca-ca. Turns out me spinach be poisoned with E. coli. And all these years, I've been promoting ecology. But that's over with, kiddies. If I survive, I'm kicking the habit. No more spinach, lettuce, radicchio, endive, or mixed greens. I'm sticking with me mixed browns, gravy, pot roast, curly fries, candy bars, and coffee. I'll get me strength from milkshakes and Malamars. So remember, kids, spinach is evil. It's green, it's metallic tasting, it gets caught in your gums, and it's crawling with deadly vermin. Take it from Popeye, stick with fudge. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. My kidneys are finished because I ate the spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
You don't have to pay big bucks on Broadway to enjoy a funny play. You could sit in the comfort of your living room, or bedroom, and read a whole book of hilarious comedies by the one and only me, Dave Lefkowitz, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with my unique satire and spoofery. If you like my show, you love my book. $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Buy it at davesgoneby.org. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Says it all, doesn't it? Welcome back to the News Gone By on Dave's Gone By. Some weird but true legal news. A Philippine judge was given psychiatric tests and disbarred after telling colleagues he had psychic powers and that he could communicate with imaginary dwarves. The good news is, after being fired, the judge was immediately flown to the U.S. and given a new job measuring air quality in Lower Manhattan. And speaking of ground zero cough, every once in a while on the News Gone By, we have frivolous lawsuit time. That's where we make fun of a completely ridiculous, time-wasting, taxpayer money-wasting lawsuit brought by some greedy idiots against, well, generally some other greedy idiots. But here's a lawsuit that I'm kinda down with, except the guy dropped it, so it's a moot issue. But last year, bodybuilder Mark Delcor of Central Islip filed suit in federal court for the right to sunbathe nude with his dog. I will repeat that. He's filed a lawsuit against the town for the right to sunbathe naked with his rat terrier, Cheekies. I can make this stuff up, I promise you. Now, understand, it wasn't the naked part that was the problem. He was using a clothing-optional beach on Fire Island, but the beach would not allow dogs, except guide dogs, and certainly not dogs named Cheekies. So Delcor was suing to suntan because, A, he has a skin condition that he says he developed from working near the World Trade Center, and B, he needs the dog because he also has post-traumatic stress disorder that the dog helps relieve somehow. But as I said, wonderful as this lawsuit is, Delcor dropped it last month citing poor health. So we'll never know why he had to sunbathe naked, as opposed to the usual simple swimsuit, Speedo, or macho thong, and how those particular areas on him got exposed to World Trade Center toxins. Who knows? Perhaps soon to join the litany of illnesses caused by 9/11, respiratory, bacterial, psychological, we now have the first case of Bin Laden dick. And of course, if the dog comes down with Bin Laden ass, we know how they spend their Sundays. No, but another solution to the problem would simply be for the guy to move to Brattleboro, Vermont. That's where there has been a movement, of sorts, for young people to walk around naked. According to the Associated Press, the nudity movement started on a whim when a young woman decided to sit on a park bench with nothing between the wood and her skin but splinters. Then another woman started walking around downtown, topless. Now, a half dozen students are doing parking lot sit-ins stark naked, for no particular cause, and with no particular pattern. Townspeople are trying to be cool about it, since Vermonters are proud of being liberal and a little kooky, but other people call it an eyesore. And I admit, I didn't get to see the naked ladies, but if the CNN picture of the scrawny guys sitting on their bony butts in the parking lot is any indication, there's a reason God put men in suits. Still, I think the most sensible solution was posited by the town clerk, who said, quote, "As soon as winter comes, there won't be a story anymore." Or, in Seinfeld parlance, meaning called on account of shrinkage.
Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows.
And yet one more story about naked people. The recent Porn Star Parade in Auckland, New Zealand. 2 dozen bare-breasted porn stars, male and female, paraded down the main street of New Zealand's main city. They wore black leather and rode motorcycles, the goal being to publicize an upcoming erotica show. Town officials tried unsuccessfully to block the parade, and the Aucklanders were so outraged and upset by the scene that they lined up 4 deep on the streets with cell phone cameras pointing and cheering and having the time of their lives. In fact, police estimate the size of the crowd was actually bigger than the turnout for Auckland's annual Santa Claus parade at Christmas. Still, I think that's misleading because at the Yuletide parade, people cluster closer together. For this one, male spectators tended to stand a good 6 to 8 inches apart. And speaking of rigid digits, or more precisely, stiffs for the stiff, here's the sickest story I've heard in a while. Twin brothers in Cassville, Wisconsin, were arrested for grave robbing. They had seen in the newspapers an obituary for a young woman killed in a motorcycle accident. So attractive was she that they decided to dig her up and have sex with her corpse. The 20-year-old psychos were caught because they actually asked for help in digging her up. But let's give these fellows a little credit. Before they went to the cemetery, and I'm not kidding, they stopped off at a Walmart to buy condoms. Okay, I realize that's not a mitigating circumstance, but listen, if we really want to get serious about stopping the spread of AIDS among the dead, it has to start somewhere. In celebrity news, poor Paris Hilton. She was pulled over by cops on suspicion of drunk driving last week. This, of course, became the center of a media frenzy. Hilton told radio host Ryan Seacrest she'd had one margarita and was only driving fast because, quote, I was just really hungry and I wanted to have an In-N-Out burger, unquote. I guess she's gotten tired of those In-N-Out hot dogs. No, but Hilton also told Seacrest all the media attention hurts her feelings because, quote, everything I do is blown out of proportion, unquote. Well, yes, first it's soft and spongy, and then you blow it, and okay, no. The arresting officers say Hilton was upset, but very cooperative. In fact, the only problem the troopers had was when they were testing her alcohol level, and they had to pull the breathalyzer from the back of her throat. Also, in celebrity news, the 14-year marriage of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown ended this week. Papers were filed for legal separation on the grounds of, quote, irreconcilable differences. But people close to Brown and Houston are saying the problem was drugs. There just weren't enough drugs in the universe to make either of them tolerable.
Spring is here, a suffering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if Sunday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a pigeon to poison a pigeon in the park.
Okay, everyone remembers that Hitchcock scene where vicious birds all swoop down and attack a town. And we all remember that scene in High Anxiety, when Mel Brooks runs away from pigeons pelting him with poop. But visitors to the annual Quadrangle Festival in Texarkana, Texas, were greeted with something actually worse. Pigeons began nosediving into the pavement and dying on the sidewalk. According to the Associated Press, the local Capital One Bank had been having pigeon problems. In fact, the previous week, a bird had gotten into the bank, flown around, and defecated on a customer. So the bank hired Anti-Pest Co., an exterminator, to rid itself of these fecal fowls, which they did, by putting poison corn on the roof. Jared Horton, the president of Anti-Pest Co., said the corn was only supposed to make the birds sick and desirous of leaving the roof. However, he added, quote, death could also be an unfortunate side effect. Indeed it was. The corn sent at least 25 birds plummeting off the bank roof and hitting the ground. Despite the horrifying sight, the Quadrangle Festival did go on as planned, and while much of the ice cream, grilled meats, and barbecued corn was ruined, the squab kebabs were delicious. In travel news, 6 months ago, South Dakota passed a bill banning abortion. Now the state's tourism board has announced that a resulting pro-choice boycott has had little or no effect on tourism. South Dakota still has little or no tourism. And finally, in science news, although Pluto has gone the way of the dodo, exciting news from another planet. For the very first time, the Hubble telescope has recorded an eclipse on Uranus. Oh, grow up. Although Jupiter and Saturn have eclipses all the time, because of its rotation, Uranus rarely has the same shadows from the Sun. When that does happen, it's kind of like a full moon. Animals change their course and people behave strangely. So, if you ever hear me on this program saying Palestinians have a right to live in Israel, or we should negotiate with Al-Qaeda, you'll know the sun is shining out of Uranus. And that's the news gone by for September 17th, 2006. Please send your comments, opinions, and rat terriers to Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. The address is also on the website, davesgoneby.org. And davesgoneby.org is also the place to find out about advertising on the show, getting our sponsor discounts, and finding out the whole history of Dave's Gone By. If you do drop us a line, we reserve the right to read your comments on the air, name withheld upon request. Our email is davesgoneby@aol.com. That's D-A-V as in Vermont. D-A-V-E-S, goneby@aol.com. More and more I'm hearing from listeners telling me in great detail what they liked and didn't like about last week's shows, and that's just great, because I listen to the compliments and the laughs and the positive feedback, and I punch the people who bitch. But it's all good. It's all a way of building the show's audience, its profile, its appeal for sponsors, and its value to this radio station. So come on, send us your letters, postcards, messages, packages, but please, no decorated toilets. That's not the way I want to get ahead. Back after this.
And that was news. Yes, that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
So, you don't have satellite radio, you don't have an iPod, or 100 music channels on your cable. Doesn't matter. Live365.com has dozens of radio stations in all sorts of formats, absolutely free. And one station, DFSX Radio, plays vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By every Saturday night at 11 Eastern Time. I've even put their link on davesgoneby.org. So just click to hear music and talk and me free on DFSX. Print it, copy it, send it as a gift. All that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press, your full-service printer. Family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, wedding invitations, engraved gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577. 569-5577. On the web at HewlettMinutemanPress.com. Mention Dave's Gone By and get 10% off. Eat, eat, use, use, buy, buy. Look at me, I'm the American consumer, and I want to spend my money on stores, restaurants, showrooms, travel agencies, mail order catalogs. Sell me stuff. How do you reach me? Well, I listen to Dave's Gone By, so if you advertise there, you'll certainly have my attention. DavesGoneBy.org has all the details, or email DavesGoneBy@AOL.com for the rate card. I'm listening. Sell me what you got. Well, we got a few more minutes on this edition of Dave's Gone By on this September 17th. Happy almost Rosh Hashanah to you all. I hope you're all going to be celebrating in whatever way you celebrate. I'll be doing it the usual way, as I've done for the past 42 years. Eating an apple dipped in honey, eating some challah, eating some meat, eating some other stuff. Yeah, that's basically what I'll be eating. So I hope you'll be eating, too. Before we close up shop here, though, we have a little time. So, as I promised earlier in the program, I wanted to just... It was going to be such a cool thing. I was going to be able to get on the radio tonight and go, after all these years, doesn't feel like quite that long, because there have been a couple of decent teams between then and now. But it's been, I think, since 1988, since the Mets took a division. And so this was the day I was freaking thinking of done it by this past Tuesday or Wednesday, quite honestly, because they had, as I think I said earlier in the program, their magic number was just going down faster than an elevator with its circuit shot. I mean, first they were like 20 games out, and then within 2 weeks they were 10 games out and dropping. When I say out, I mean away. Their magic number was 20, and it just kept going down and down and down until you figured, okay, they're gonna have this wrapped up literally by first week of September. But didn't quite happen that way, even though the Mets still, up until I think today, had the best record in baseball, and go figure, the damn Yankees now have the better one. But it was kind of neat for the Mets for over a month, even when at points they weren't playing so well, and they were having an injury here and there and some pitching problems, they were still playing 6-4 ball over a 10-game period, or 7-3 ball. They were just winning, basically, because their bats were incredible. The one thing about this team that is, I think, unlike any other Met team that I can recall, even from their glory years, even from the mid-80s years, let alone 69 and all that, or in the 70s when they, 73, I think they also made the World Series but lost to Oakland. But this was the one time when their hitting was superior to the pitching. This was the one Mets team where you had four or five or six different people on it at any one time, all batting 290, 300, 307, 315, all in the roster. So if the pitching was sometimes a little suspect, even though they had an amazing streak by Tom Glavine, and even though Pedro Martinez brought something to the Mets that few other people have in recent times, just the two of them together, along with some decent other pitching and some good relief stuff, no matter what, even recently, when the pitching was going downhill, you had all these batters coming up, and so the Mets would be down 4-0 in the third inning. And you somehow felt that by the eighth inning, the Mets would be leading 6-4. And they would just go on and take the game. And they did this again and again. And suddenly now, the bats are cooling off a little bit. But I do have one little theory before we go that I want to... they've had this magic number, one, for the past couple of games. They were playing away in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh swept the series. They won again today, and the Mets' magic number is still one away from taking the division. They've got to win one more game, or Philadelphia has to lose one more game, and then the Mets are in. And it's been sitting there for a couple of days at that number, because the Mets have been playing kind of cruddy, and Philadelphia is playing its heart out, even though it's really got no chance. Well, one thing I want to say is that there was one game about 2 weeks ago when, as wonderful a job as Willie Randolph has done all year managing the Mets, he left the pitcher in too long, and had he pulled him, because he had no stuff at all, he was just giving up hit after hit, run after one, and I'm watching this and I'm like, guys, you haven't gotten the division yet. You don't have the pennant yet. Win these games, then check and see how your pitchers are doing, bring up the guys from, Double A, Triple A, Single A. First, get the pennant, then do that stuff. But okay, they lost that game, and so we're sitting here still on this Sunday night waiting for them to win this one more, or Philly to lose. But because Philly has won the past couple of games, and the Mets have been crappy, it does mean that their next game is going to be at home, and they're going to get to win there. I mean, it may not be the next one, although it probably will, but some game in the next couple of games, they're going to win handily, and I think this was in the back of the team's minds. They were going to get to go on the field at Shea, and that's where they wanted to do it. They didn't want to celebrate. Who wants to celebrate anything in Pittsburgh? They wanted to roll up the tarp, they wanted to get out the champagne and celebrate at home, and I know they'll do it. I'm, as a Met fan forever, I'm pretty excited, and I'm pretty happy, and okay, if they were lousy this week, they'll come back next week. At least one game at home and do it for all of us. Well, I've been happy to do this show for all of you, but I've got to go. So let me remind you of just a couple of things to thank Our sponsors, Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, MortgagesRock.com, Hewlett Minuteman Press. Also want to give in a plug to my good friend Jeff Goodman, who's the head of Fancy Schmancy Balloons, and he also does centerpieces and stuff like that for weddings and bar mitzvahs and anniversaries and office parties, stuff like that. 516-797-3229. 797-3229. As soon as Jeff gets back from Alaska, he'll be very, very happy to hear from you and help you with your party. 797-3229. Want to thank my newsworthy and wonderful wife, Joyce, as ever. Let's see. Want to remind people to listen to Indecent Exposure Radio, Saturday from midnight until 6 a.m. Sundays on WVOX 1460 a.m. in New Rochelle. You can hear it live streaming on the web at WVOX.com or find out more about their show, IndecentExposureRadio.com. Listen to Swing City Vic Sunday nights at 9 on this station, WGBB AM 1240. Listen also to Joyce Keller, Radio Psychic, Wednesday nights at 11. Remember to catch a vintage Dave's Gone By Saturday nights at 11 on DFSX Radio. That's one of the stations on Live365.com. That's a lot of information, so just remember to go to my website, davesgoneby.org, Saturday nights at 11, and you can click through and listen to a classic Dave for free right on your computer. Oh, and I will be live tomorrow on the air again on a different station, WUSB 90.1 FM out in Stony Brook. You can also listen to that on the web at WUSB.FM live streaming. WUSB.FM. The FM is the extension like the com or the org. That's tomorrow, Monday, September 18th. I'll be on from 2:30 until 5, playing a mix of rather spunky electronic music and other stuff. I'm filling in for a different show. That's why I'm playing that. Or trying to. I'll probably just be doing my usual me stuff. So if you like it, tune in tomorrow. 2.5 hours from 2:30 until 5 o'clock in the afternoon on WUSB 90.1 or streaming on the web at WUSB.FM. Okay, I will be back next week, September 24th, with the 190th edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, good news, and gone by. Thank you.